You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The University of Otago AIDS Epidemiology Centre released their annual HIV/AIDS report yesterday as part of their newsletter. The report showed that 244 people were diagnosed with HIV in New Zealand in 2016. This is the highest number ever diagnosed in 1 year since recording began of the epidemic in 1985. I spoke with the head of the AIDS Epidemiology Centre, Dr. Sue McAllister, to try and break down some of the statistics released and to try to figure out why these numbers are getting higher every year.
2016, there were 244 people diagnosed with HIV in New Zealand, and that is the highest number that have been diagnosed in any 1 year since we started doing the surveillance back in 1985. Most of these people are gay and bisexual men, or who we refer to as men who have sex with men. And so we've seen both the overall number of diagnoses increasing and the men who have sex with men, and particularly those who have been reported to have been infected in New Zealand, that number has also increased. Amongst the heterosexual men and women, the numbers have stayed fairly stable over the last 2 to 5 years, but amongst the gay and bisexual men, the increase has been continuing upwards since around 2011.
I mean, are there any clear reasons for such a spike in diagnosis?
So it's not so much a spike in diagnosis. They've been sort of steadily tracking upwards, and we can see, like, there's been some more testing is one thing, but we can also tell from the data that many of those gay and bisexual men have been recently infected. So we collect data on the time of diagnosis, but the actual infection may have occurred, you know, a year or more before. But we do know from the data that over the last 2 to 3 years that there has been an increase in people who have what we call a high CD4 count, and we can tell from that their infection is most likely to have occurred within, the last year. So it is overall increase in diagnoses, but we can also tell that it's relatively recent infections as well that have been increasing. What's behind all of that, and the why these numbers are going up, is quite difficult. We collect information around the who, but understanding the behavioural issues behind the reasons for that is unclear, because, well, one of the reasons is the last behavioural survey was done in 2014. It was due to be repeated again early this year, but wasn't funded. So it's really difficult to know and to really understand what's driving these numbers up.
Where does that funding come from? Why was that not funded for this year?
There were various places where funding was sought. I think it was the Ministry of Health. Dr. Peter Saxton is the person who's been doing those behavioural surveys every 2 years in Auckland at the Gay Auckland Periodic Sex Survey, is what that's called. And so funding was sought from various places, including the Ministry of Health, but it wasn't funded. I'm not sure of the reasons for that.
Is there any significance on any ethnicity?
It's all ethnic groups. There's no clear. It affects all ethnicities and all ages. Probably amongst the gay and bisexual men, it's probably more predominantly European men. But yeah, it's all ethnicities. There's no real clear pattern about anything around that.
Do you think that with the potential that there is now effective treatment available, people feel less threatened by the disease? They think that there's less of a stigma around it?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that often we get asked about. And obviously, you know, compared to in the 90s, before treatment became available, you know, before then it was like a death sentence, really. Some people contracted HIV and then developed AIDS. That's no longer the case now with antiretroviral therapy, and people are treated, it's treated as a chronic condition. People can live a normal lifestyle, but it still has huge implications on the individual, you know, having to live a lifetime on medication, the stigma around having HIV. So again, without really having that behavioural data to understand some of the reasons behind this, we really don't know, you know, whether it's a complacency issue or not, I'm not sure. With, yeah, as I say, without that behavioural data, it's difficult to really say that.
Are there any practices currently in place, like any effective methods of HIV prevention?
Well, condom use is the standard in New Zealand. You know, we've effectively been working with the condom use program, and New Zealand has been effective at keeping the numbers down for a large number of years, and that's been the mainstay of the prevention message. Early testing is another one. So the condom use needs to continue, obviously, because that is the standard measure of prevention, and it's also good for other sexually transmitted infections. Regular testing, this is particularly important, as around the time of a new infection is when a person is particularly able to pass on the infection to others, and so again the condom use is effective for that if they're not having regular testing, but also testing as soon as possible after someone has considered themselves to be at risk. Early starting on antiretroviral therapy is another effective means at keeping. It's good for the individual because they have better outcomes, but it's also good on a community level because if somebody is on treatment, they have their viral load controlled, and so there is less ability for them to pass the infection on to someone else.
The pre-exposure prophylaxis,
so that's the other one that's more recently been prominent, particularly overseas, and that's of providing medication to particularly high risk, mostly men who have sex with men. So there are people who, so condom use is the practice, but there's people who, you know, for whatever reason, just cannot maintain that condom culture. And so there is this pre-exposure prophylaxis, so if someone is on this medication and then consistently taking it, then that is known to be effective at preventing HIV, and that's been used in countries overseas. It's not yet available here in New Zealand, but it's another tool in the toolbox that I we would like to see being available here in New Zealand.
I was wondering, in regards to these statistics, how do they compare to statistics from other countries?
Yeah, so we usually sort of compare ourselves to places like Australia and the UK. From what I can understand, the numbers there have been fairly steady, although in Australia, I think more recently, although their numbers haven't been published for 2016, I believe they are starting to track down again, and that is possibly because they've got this whole package of prevention that they have been able to access. So the condom use and the testing and the early antiretroviral therapy and the pre-exposure prophylaxis. And I believe that they are starting to track down again in Australia. But yeah, 2016 numbers, I haven't seen them for Australia. They're not published on their website yet.
So those wanting to get tested in New Zealand, how do they go about that?
So testing is available at New Zealand AIDS Foundation clinics, at sexual health clinics throughout the country. Could also be through a general practitioner. So anyone who feels that they've been at risk of HIV could go to any one of those places and ask for an HIV test, and it would be available.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.